Today's shiur will begin Maseches Bava Basra Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. The form that you see, the house form around the Nahar Doi, is in effect a structural note that follows from the last house form. And we had indicated in a previous shiur that the structure of these two cases, the number one case which we've already learned, where Nahar Doi presented their opinion, Rava attacked their opinion, and then Rava said his own halacha, the same structure will appear over here as well. The necessary introduction by way of the topic, that you will notice on the side of your page, there's a number two inside a house, Hakoina Dekel, Kona Hakarka Shetachtov. Person who buys a palm tree gets the land under it as well. Let's see this in the Gemara. Amri Nahar Doi, Haiman Dezovin Dikla Lechavrei. Fellow sold a palm tree to his friend, Koni Le Mishipule Ad Toima. He gets from the bottom of the tree down into the depths of the world. In other words, if you say such a thing, even though it's a singular tree, he gets the land immediately under it. What did we mean by saying even though it's a singular tree? Because there is a rule that a person who buys one or two trees doesn't get the land with them. What does that mean? The Rashbam explains this and says, in that case, he doesn't get the land around the trees. But if you bought three trees, you would get not only the tree, but the land around the trees as well. However, if you're going to buy one tree, does that mean you get nothing by way of land? So Nahar Doi says, not so. You get the land underneath the tree, under the trunk of the tree. What's the nafkamina of this halacha? So this is also mentioned in the Rashbam, that if this tree dies, he'll have the option of planting another tree in that same spot, because that spot belongs to him. Continuing in the Gemara, Maskiflo Rova. Rova asks, why is it that he gets the land under the tree? Velei mole, let the mocher claim. Kurkuma derishka zavini loch. It's a type of plant. It was a type of plant that was sold to people, and the purchasers understood that they were buying just the plant. And when the plant grew to its fullness, they would harvest their plant and go away. So why can't the seller of the tree say that I sold you the tree as if it were a kurkuma derishka? Hence, you notice in our Gemara markings, we have a singular quotation marks around the expression kurkuma derishka, because we're not dealing with that plant. We're dealing with a tree and viewing it as if it were that plant. So we're terming the tree kurkuma derishka. So why can't the seller say, I sold you the tree as if it were kurkuma derishka? Akor kurkuma derishka vizil. That when the tree finishes its fruit production, it dries out, just uproot it and go. Elo omar rova. Rova says as follows, that if a tree is sold without any specifications, a singular tree is sold without any additional conditions, in fact, that's the halacha. That when the tree dries out, go. That's it. Goodbye. However, is there a situation of a person being able to claim the land under the tree as well? So Rava says, Elama Rava bevo machmas taina, where he claims beferush, the purchaser of the tree says beferush, says explicitly, you sold me the tree and the land under it. So if he claims that, he is believed. That's what Rava says. He is believed. Let's take a look at the Rashbam. Elo Amar Rava, Hocha Hu Dekoni Lekarka Shetachas Ilan. When is that? When is it that he gets the land under the tree? Bevo Machmas Hataina Shetoyen Lamoicher. He claims against the seller. Beferush Macharta Li O Ilan Vakarka Shetachtof Li Tachir Bemkomo. Ubishtar. You sold the land with the option of having. With my having option of replanting something later, and I had a shtar, ve'achalte shnei chazoka, and I've used the land 3 years, I've used the tree for 3 years, v'lo nizardi b'shtar yosem mishalosh shanim, and I don't watch my shtar more than 3 years. Dehashto lo domi lekurka madarishka. A case like that, it's not like the case of kurka madarishka, the case where the normal sale was. You can use the land under the Kurka Mishra until it's ripe, until it's finished growing. Then, when it finishes, go. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar le Mark Shisha Brei Rav Chisda le Rav Ashi. Given what Rava just said, that a purchaser who claims this claim, he says, I bought the tree with the option of replanting something. I had a shtar and I lost it. And I've been here for 3 years. Ve'i lekurkema derishka zovinle. Let us imagine that the seller sold the tree stam. And there was no specification of getting the land along with it. In other words, he sold the tree, in fact, as a kurkema derishka. My havile lemevad. What's the mocher going to do? Once you tell me that the lokeach is believed when he tainis, you sold me the tree with the land under it, and I had a shtar and I lost it. I've been here for 3 years, and that's why I don't have a shtar anymore. What defense does the mocher ever have in a case where he sold the tree just as a tree, like the kurka madrishka type sale? So the Gemara says the mocher has a defense. He has a way to defend himself against this potential claim made by the purchaser. So we have a purchaser who in fact bought just the tree, but there's the danger that the purchaser will claim he bought the land under the tree as well. And we said before that if he makes such a claim, he's believed. So what's the defense the mocher has? Notice we have a long answer marking, a tough tshuva or teretz with a dashed vertical line. All of these lines are part of the answer. The seller who's claiming I sold you just the tree, no land under it. I sold you the tree in a kurka madrishka fashion. He should issue a protest within 3 years, informing us that he sold just the tree. And if the buyer thinks otherwise, and then he has a shtar to that effect, he'll watch the shtar. Di lo teima hachi. If you don't say that this is a defensive approach for potential danger that sellers are subjected to, well, hani mashkanta desura. These are lands that are offered as collateral to a lender, and there's a text, a shtar, that goes along with this mashkanta desura. The mashkanta desura was a type of collateral whereby the lender would use the land for a certain number of years, and the use of the land and the fruits would in effect pay off the loan. And there was a shtar that went along with it and said as follows, the kosav bo hachi. There's written into the document concerning this mashkanta desura the following, b'mishlem shanya ilein, tepuk arodo below kesef. But with the completion of these years, it might be 10 years. But at the end of 10 years, this land goes back without any further payment. It goes back to the borrower without any need for further payment. Now, 10 years is much more than 3 years of chazakah. Ikovish le l'shtar mashkanta. Imagine the lender would hide the shtar, indicating that it's only a mashkon, v'omar, and claim l'kucha hi biyadi. At the end of 10 years, he would say, well, this is really my land. I bought it from you. And he wouldn't have to produce a shtar anymore. 10 years went by. Ochi nami de mehemon. Are you going to tell us that he's believed just by saying that? V'chi teima ochi nami said, yeah, that's right. That people who received mashkanta de suras at the end of the term can get away and say, I bought it. Well, if you say that, mitakni rabbonin milsa de osi bo lidei pseida, would you think that the rabbonin would institute a financial mechanism like a mashkanta de sura that ultimately would lead to a loss to somebody? In this case, the borrower losing his land. So, no, it couldn't be that they would establish a takona that had built into it loss. So what's the solution to this particular problem? The borrower in that case, who offered the land as collateral, was expected to issue a protest or an announcement that let it be known that he has it as a mashkon only. Okay, and that solves the problem. So the mashkon is a reasonable financial institution whereby the lender can use it for any number of years, for 10 years, and the loan is thereby paid off, and the borrower is not endangered, because the borrower is expected to issue his protest. Hachanami, so too, in our case of the seller of a tree, where he sold just the tree, iboyale limchuye. The seller would be expected, within 3 years, to announce, I sold him the tree alone, because otherwise, if he's silent, the buyer of the tree, in fact, is believed if he says, I bought the tree and the land, and I've been here for 3 years and lost the shtar. The solution, once again, is that the seller has to make some type of announcement, a macho, before 3 years passes. Mishnah here is a brand new topic. The general topic that we'll be discussing here has to do with macho effectiveness. Does a macho protest? What are you doing on my land? Does it work from region to region? Does a macho travel? Or is it necessary to protest right up in front of the occupier? And if not, the occupier could say, I never heard anything. The Mishnah begins, and of course, the Mishnah is going to require the Gemara to illuminate its true meaning. Shalosh arotzos lechazoka. Yehuda v'ever hayarden v'hagolil. Hoya b'Yehuda v'hichzik b'Golil. The owner, let us say, was in the Yehuda region, and someone was occupying and using his land that was located in Golil. B'Golil v'hichzik b'Yehuda. Eino chazoka ad shehe imoy b'Medina. Omar Rebbe Yehuda. One thing we have to note is that Rebbe Yehuda is cholek on the Tanakama. Lo omru shaloi shonim, elo kidei shiehe ba'aspamyo. Aspamyo being the name of a country that's a year away from Eretz Yisrael. V'yachzik shana, v'yehu v'yodi'uhu shana. V'yovoi l'shona acheres. The 3 years, as Rabbi Yehuda understands it, is so that the user might use it, be using it for up to a year, let's say, and when the year ends, or close to the end of the year, some people, friends from the area, go and travel a year's traveling to Spamia and tell the owner who's located out there, says, you know, this, someone's using your land. And that would then notify the owner to come back from Aspamia to Eretz Israel and tell the guy, hey, what are you doing on my land? The Rashbam gives a lot of explanation here. What we'll do is we'll look at the Rashbam. Omar Bihuda, lo omru shalosh shanim, lachloik ba. He's coming to argue. Velomar, di'enon chalukos lechazoka. The regions that the Mishnah mentioned are not divided with regard to chazoka concerns. Da'aya begolu v'yichzik b'yuda. If a person was located in Golil and the occupier was using in Yehuda, avya chazoka, v'afilu oya ba'aspamya shu rochaik malach shona meretz Yisrael, v'yichzik meretz Yisrael, havya chazoka. Even though they're in different regions, namely the occupier of the land and the original owner are in different regions, that wouldn't thwart a chazaka from forming. Sharei lekach erichu shnei chazakas man rubas shalosh shanim. It's for this very reason that the period of time to achieve a chazaka is such a long time, 3 years. Kedei shiur, enough time, shimhoya ba'aspamya, v'im yachzik zeh bekarka shelo shana. The owner, the original owner, is located in Aspamia. This guy is located here and he's using it for a year. And the reputation started to develop within that first year that new guys on the field. So neighbors would then the second year go and take a year's long trip and let the original owner know about it. That's Yodiu Lebalakarka, Uleshona Shlishis, Yavov Yimche. Uve Gemora Meforesh Iboy Rebuta Mechob Afonav Olo. At this point, it would seem to us that Rebuta does require Mechob Afonav because it seems that he's saying, come back here. Gemora will have to deal with that. Vyoysim Alechshona Ein Derech Odom Larachik Mi Beisoy. This business of a year is a figure because people don't distance themselves from their homes more than a year's travel time. And based on that standard, tiknu, they made this law of 3 years. This is very, very significant. Hence we have this dashed underline. Rabbi Yehuda is a major departure from what we've learned till now. Rabbi Yehuda does not hold the 3 years because that's the amount of time a person watches his shtar. Eloke meforish. But rather, as we explain, it's a practical amount of time. Kedei shiehei v'chule, the amount of time to travel. Notice for the coal to develop, people to go and inform the owner out there, and for the owner to finally come back. V'taima d'chazoka l'didei, the basis of a chazoka being achieved, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a person would not allow his land to be used without his permission. Hear that? This is like a really new shita. A person doesn't let his land to be used by someone else even for a moment. Sounds like Hani Debe Bar El Yoshiv we had in a previous Gemara. Elo lekach herichu shalosh shanim. So why so much time? Shepomim hoya ma'ara rochok. Could be that the original owner is far away. Avoli havim ma'ara b'ir. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if the ma'ara and the user were in the same city, havi chazoka miyad, kinamrin l'kalam pirkin. would be the Mi Chazoka if he kept silent. The Gemara opens up with an analysis of the Tanakhama. What is his opinion? You'll notice in the Gemara the double line form. The note on the outside margin says Nosei Mivneh, Shlovim, their stages, Levarer, Das HaTanakhama, Beinyan Macho Shlo Bufonov Yihavi Macho Lo. What is the Tanakhama's opinion with regard to the need or lack of need of Macho being in front of the user? My Kosovar Tanakhama, bearing one, we're going through stages in order to understand this. If a macho made long distance, meaning not in front of the occupier, is sufficient, so then from one region to the next would have been enough. Yet the Mishnah says that they're considered three separate regions, and if you're the owner, original owner is in Yehuda and the machzik is in Golil, he doesn't achieve a chazaka. Continuing, then afilu Yehuda v'Yehuda nami lo. From reading the Mishnah, we got the impression the only time it's not a chazok is from cross regions. But in the same region, even though it's not in front of one another, it would be a good chazoka. But if you say that a machos shelo b'fonav is not a good machos, so even in the same region it should be no good. Omar Rabbi Abba bar Momo, Omar Rav. The Oilom Kosovar Machos Lobofonov Havya Macho. Hence our inference was good that if it were in the same region, it would be good, even though he's not in front of him. The protester doesn't come in front of the occupier. So if a Machos Lobofonov is a good Macho, then why cross region is it no good? Umishnosenu Bishas Cheirum Shanu. Our mission is describing a period, a time of chirum, where there are, let's say it's war time, where word doesn't go cross regional lines. Well, if that's the pshat in the Mishnah, so just say that b'shas chirum, there's no chazoka. Why did you have to feature these names of places? The Rashbam makes this suggestion about three lines in the bottom. He said it could have said kol arotzes chalukos lechazoka b'shas chirum, would have been enough. So the Gemara explains why did the Mishnah feature these places? Yehuda Golil Eiv Hayarden, u'mayishno Yehuda v'Golil Denokid. Answer, ha komash malon. By citing them, the Mishnah is really telling us, the stam Yehuda v'Golil, those regions, even at times of peace, of non-war, kishas cheirum damu. It's like war. What does that mean? Just like in wartime, the word does not travel. There are barriers, there are guards posted along the way. What are you doing here? You know, you can't go any further. You can't. Everything stops at given points. Yehuda v'Golil were like that in what sense? In that there were no caravans. There was no transportation between those two regions. So the Tanakhama's opinion is that generally speaking, Machos shelo b'fonav Havi Macho. However, if you've got extenuating circumstances, like time of war, or situations where you have regions that there's no contact between one population and the next, then it would be no Chazoka. No, namely, if they're in two different regions, there would be no Chazoka because there's no way for his Macho to get to him. The Gemara continues, and we notice new forms, the bowtie form, and in the space between the Tosfos and the Gemara, there's a 1 and a 2. The note on the outside margin says Nosei Mivneh, the topic and structural note, Shnei Lushonos B'Rav, two versions of Rav, E Yesh Chazoka B'Nichsei Boireach. A person who's on the run, happened to own land, and someone comes and is machzik the land. Whereas he's using it for, he uses the land over 3 years. This, he thereby acquire a chazoka. But as we got finished saying a moment ago, you evaluate chazokas insofar as how, or the ability of a machor to travel. The owner is on the run. Would you expect him to be moche? If you would not expect him to be moche, then we would take the opinion that you can't be machzik b'nichsei b'reach. Let's start the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Ein machzikin b'nichsei b'reach. Take a look at the next bow tie appearance of Rav. What does he say there? Amar Rav machzikin b'nichsei b'reach. Hence, as we gave as our introduction, there are two lishonos in Rav. That's part of an Iko D'Amri Lashon. In the Iko D'Amri, you can see a squiggle underline as a standard procedure in our marking system. Whenever we have two versions or two possibilities or multiple choices of answers, we'll use this marking. We use this marking for other things as well, but certainly in the case of alternative expressions or double lashonos, etc., you'll find the squiggle underline. The first lashon of Rav, Amar Rav, Ein machzikin b'nichsei b'reach. One can't achieve a chazaka when the owner is on the run. Let's take a look at the Rashbam. Ein machzikin b'nichsei b'reach. The Rashbam is across from here in the Rashbam commentary. He says, "Klomar, im hichsik, if you try to achieve a chazaka, reino chazaka." Can you before Shmuel says, as the more will explain, the kosovar macho shelo befonav lo havia macho. And unless a macho is made in front of the occupier, it's not a macho. The kevin de lo yochol limchois, since he cannot protest. Gam ze lo yochol lahachzik. Ukerav Yehuda svirole. The Yom Hamasisin yechuv yodiu shana v'yovel shana acheres. The mashma ditzarach limchois befonav. So Rav is based on Shitas Rav Yehuda that a machol has to be in front of the guy. Now, if you have a situation where he can't be in front of the guy, so there won't be a chazaka. The Gemara continues. Ki amriso kamei de Shmuel, Omar li, v'chi limchois befonav utzarech. Shmuel, you can see, holds that a macha does not have to be in front. And if it doesn't have to be in front, so this guy is on the run, can issue his macha out there. And since a macha could be issued, the muchzuk can achieve a chazoka. The Gemara turns back to Rav now. V'Rav, Maiko Mashmulan. What's Rav's point? What's he trying to tell us by saying Ein Machzik B'Nichsei B'Reach? Macho Shelo B'Fonav Lo Havia Macho. Is that what he's trying to tell us? That a macho done from the distance would not constitute a good protest? But how could that be Shitas Rav? V'Homa Rav. Notice we've noted Omed Aleph. You'll notice also an arrow in the margin between the Gemara and the Tosfos. But Rav said, Macho Shaloi Befonov, Havia Macho. Everyone notices the parallel arrow on Omer Aleph. Okay. Problem in Shitas Rav. What's his Shita? The Gemara explains. Rav, on Omer Aleph, when he said what he did, namely, that Macho Shaloi Befonov, Havia Macho, Taimo de Tono di Don Komeforesh. He was simply there explaining the Tanakama's stance. Valei lo svirale, but Rav personally does not hold by the shita of the Tanakama. Rather, he holds like Rav Yehuda that requires a machol b'fonav. V'iko di amri, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, machzikin b'nichsei b'reach. Ki amriso kamei de Shmuel, when Rav Yehuda, who learned by Rav, and when Rav died, he then came and moved over to learn by Shmuel. So he says, when I said this over to Shmuel, Omar li, pshita. There's no big news in that comment that machzikin v'nichsei b'reach v'chi limchos b'fonav u'tzorech. I know he's on the run. I understand that. But that shouldn't affect the chazoka. He doesn't have to come back to the place he's running away from and protest. More asks, v'rav ma'iko mashmalon. What's the chiddush that Rav is trying to convey? What did Rav say, according to the second lashon? Machzik and michsei berach. What's he trying to say by that? Maybe macho shelo b'fonav, havia macho. Is that what he's trying to say? That a macho done from the distance is sufficient. Veho omro Rav chado zimno. But he already said that on Omer Aleph. Then a macho shelo b'fonav is a good macho. Elo ho komash malon. That which Rav said here, Machzik b'nichsei b'reach, he's telling me the following. The afilu micha b'fnei shnayim she'ein yecholin loymar loy. Imagine a macho was issued in front of two that are lame. They can't ever get to the occupier and say that the owner is protesting. Havyo macho. It still would be a good macho. So that's what he's hinting at when he says this as halacha of machzikin benichsei boreach. Even though the boreach is not going to be able to get the macha over to the occupier, so too issuing a macha in front of people who can't bring it over, cannot communicate the macha, it's still a good macha. As we go on, we've already encountered a diamond marking. We want to understand what's the role of the diamond that we saw under Rav's speech, under Rav's comment. Now, Shmuel. So on the side of the Gemara, the Nosei Mivneh heading, Shnei Deos B'macho Shenemar B'fnei Shnayim She'einon Yecholim Loimar Lo Lamachzik. There are two opinions concerning a case where a macho is said in front of someone who cannot convey it. One opinion we just saw, namely Rav, that a macho done in front of two that cannot communicate it, they physically can't communicate it, it's still a good macho. Omar Rav Onan, the Gemara continues, L'didi mifrishali minei demar Shmuel. The following was explained to me by Shmuel. Aleph, Micha b'fnei shnei b'nei Adam she'yecholim loymar loy havyo macho. If the macho is issued in front of two people who could communicate it, then that's a good macho. Base, Micha b'fnei shnei b'nei Adam she'ein yecholim loymar loy havyo macho. Notice what we've tried to accomplish with the markings. We have these dashed underlines. We have it here. We had a few lines up. What was dashed underline about four lines up? We had the expression she'ein yecholim. Those were people that cannot communicate the macha. And we also had noted havya macha. So we have ein yecholim, havya macha. What if we dashed underline here? Ein yecholim. We have also a special emphasis on the word lo, because that's the key expression when learning Shmuel. So it lo havya macha. Now, v'rav, the squiggle underline under Rav here is it tries to show that he's responding to what was just said. V'rav, what is his opinion? Chavro chavro islay, v'chavro dechavro chavro islay. No problem if you tell it to someone that can't bring it over. But the people that heard it, that are themselves not mobile, they'll tell it to someone else who is mobile and will be able to communicate the protest to the occupier. Omar Rava, Hilchisa. Number one, Ein Machzikin Benichse Boireach. That Chazaka cannot be achieved if you're occupying the land of someone who's currently on the run. The idea there would be that a Machah Shelo Bafonov Lo Havya Machah, because the owner who's on the run, he can't come here to protest, and he can't make the Machah. And you'll say, well, what, he has to come here to make the Machah? Yeah, that's what this halacha would seem to say. Point number two, umacha shaloi b'fanav, have yamacha. Where it says, tarti, two halachas that are soser each other. When you say in machzik b'nichseh, you're really communicating the idea that macha shaloi b'fanav is not a good macha. You can't rely on a long distance macha. And then you're telling me in halacha number two that you can. It's good. Lo kashya. There's no contradiction in Rava's piske halacha. Kan, the number two halacha, that a long distance macha is good. Boireach machmas moma. He's running because he owes taxes, he owes debts. And that's why he's on the run. He's not in any physical danger. He's on the run because he doesn't want people to bother him. So he's running. However, Kan, Halacha 1, we said, Ein Machzik Nichsei Boreach, because the Machor that he makes, it can't be made in effect. Boreach Machmas Mardin. Mardin is a Persian word, sounds very much like the English word murder, because that's what it means. He is on the run because he's wanted for murder. A guy like that, if he's wanted for murder, he's really wanted for capital punishment, for to be punished in an electric chair fashion. So he can't reveal his whereabouts. He can't talk to people and issue machos. Well, let's take a look at the Rabbeinu Gershom at the lower part of the page. Kan beboreach machmas mamoin shemechuyev le'anshei ha'ir ein tzorach lo le'achbi atzmoi kol kach. He's a person on the run because he owes money to people in town. He doesn't have to hide himself that much. V'hoya yochol limchoiz shelo b'fonav. He could have made a long distance machah. V'havya machah, it would have been effective. V'i lo micha, if he kept quiet, v'ichzik achim v'nechosev, havi chazoka. Avol, boreach machmas mardin. He is guilty of something serious. Ein machzikin b'nechosav mishum di'i ave moiche. If he would say any form of macha, yivoda l'machus hechenu, his whereabouts would be revealed. V'yivakshuhu ajimsu v'yemesukan begufo. The government would start to seek him out and he'd be mortally in danger. Umishum hachi lo micha. And that explains his silence. V'ein machzikin b'nechosav. As a result of his having to be silent, therefore there is no chance of macha, therefore there is no chazaka that can be achieved. At this point, we will conclude our shiur for today.